You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for April 1st, 2022. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we're pretty sure the Oscars themselves will have to be added to the Oscars in memoriam reel next year. It's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
One can hope.
Oscars are dead. Oscars are over. They're over.
Well, the whole point of the Oscars is to have distraction from the problems of the hot takes of the world.
Really?
And we didn't get that this year, did we? No.
There were lots of people. Questlove won.
Questlove won.
Soul, that's great. Had his moment stolen from him by a couple of celebrities before him. Oscar was just so fucked up. Mm-hmm. And it's been so screwed up for so long. I mean, it's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. It celebrates the people who make motion pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they have completely forgotten how to
do that. They've forgotten that the technical parts of filmmaking are delightful and important. Yep.
Yeah. And I like Wanda Sykes.
It's celebrity driven. And yeah, I like Wanda Sykes too.
Sending her off to the Hollywood Museum to make fun of Hollywood, to make fun of this thing they just spent $100 million to build.
$400 million.
Seems like a weird choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they could have taken a whole lot of that, the stuff out of the schedule that was just awkward and weird and dumb and counterproductive, and given like 2 minutes to the Governor's Award, where they were actually giving people with great status and history, you know, a lifetime achievement award or technical things that people I find interesting because it's here to celebrate the movies, or just,
well, they just lost the meaning. Like you say, and ABC is telling them, look, you got to have celebrities, you got to have blockbuster movies, and make it so that, I've heard of that. Everything that comes up has something someone's heard of. And that, therefore, you don't learn anything. You don't learn about technical, how movies are made, or what's really important. But you do learn to celebrate, you know, anniversaries of movies that boomers know.
It reminded me of nothing so much as The Force Awakens. All right, here's what you have to do. You got to be new, but you got to be old. You got to make all the old fans satisfied, but you got to give them something different, but not too different. Mm-hmm. Now bring in everything everybody knows and loves and just throw it into the mixer, but have a new thing where you bring young people in too.
Star Trek One, same thing.
What the hell?
Yeah.
You can't possibly meet all those expectations. Yeah. And we're going to give you 4 hours to do it, and it's still going to seem simultaneously bloated and rushed, which is how the hell did you screw this up?
Mm-hmm.
I know you cannot get Bob Hope or David Niven out of their graves and have them come back. And people have fond memories of things when they were 12. Mm-hmm. And there were 70 million people watching this thing as opposed to whatever it was, 16
million.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want to extract any larger sociopolitical observation.
We don't have any hot takes on this because it's celebrity culture. Yeah.
Other than the entire purpose of Hollywood is to create products that people want to watch, and they can't do it anymore.
No,
they cannot fix this problem. And I'm not in charge of fixing it, but it in a sense reminded me of the news media itself, which is there is this industry whose entire function, according to the Constitution, according to the idea of a free and fair press, the whole purpose, the whole reason we give them lots of latitude is they will hold, you know, important people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
They will diligently go after the truth, and they will be, you know, without fear or favor, and they cannot police themselves.
Nope.
They cannot do it. They're
incapable
of doing it. Just like
the Supreme Court. Yep.
So that's what I observed. But I've been at this game for a while, so maybe I'm just old and dumb.
Well, and I've been watching this week some very old clips of the Oscars, just because they've come up on my YouTube, which, you know, speaking of rabbit holes, there's a rabbit hole to go down is YouTube. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed about Ethel Barrymore accepting the award for Judy Holliday for Born Yesterday, that was the one that really got me. Because she came up to accept an award for someone else. And she was brief. She was professional. she was speaking like an actress, you know, and yes. It was very, first of all, it was very Barrymore, but it was very stilted a little bit, but sure. In a way that was, you knew that Ethel Barrymore was at fucking work right then.
Right.
She was at work.
It was stilted in the same way Hamlet is stilted.
Right.
It is a performance. You're there
it's
to
a
perform.
Performance. And she's at work right now. She is at work. Whether she's getting being paid to go up and do that or she's doing it as a favor to Judy or whatever, right. She's mm-hmm. on and she's at work. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know, in a lot of our culture right now, I mean, I've mentioned this before, the anytime I hear complaints in the zeitgeist about men don't know how to behave anymore with female coworkers, you're at work.
Yeah. Oh,
that's,
oh,
that's it. Right. That's you're right. At work. Taking your dick out is impossible at work. Talking about her tits, you're at work. No, you're at work.
No.
You're and not being again, paid to do any of that. So you're at work. And that's behave like you're at work when you're at work. And you'll be all right.
You're in an industry with hundreds of thousands of people who specialize in creating dialogue.
Right.
And you can't find someone to write a goddamn 2-minute speech.
Right, right.
That is succinct and professional and grateful mm-hmm. and correct. And everyone's like, I don't have my notes. Where did I limit my dad? Got an agent. Like, fuck you guys. What yeah. is it? The only thing you do is stand in front or behind a camera and enact a role. That is mm-hmm. literally all you do. And it's a
for a living.
For a living. For mostly a very good living. I don't begrudge them any of that shit.
No.
But,
no.
Oh, my God. You can't really come up with 90 goddamn seconds. You don't know anybody who writes jokes.
Yes, look, right.
There's a guy who works at SNL. He used to work there named John. And and he's really good at short skits. Go talk to him and get him to write you a 90-second speech that will make you memorable in the sense that that was a damn good speech.
Yeah.
But they can't manage it. And I got to assume it's two reasons, money and ego.
Yeah.
Exactly the same shit. The reason that Chuck Todd still has a job.
Right.
And that media sucks is money and ego. And that's it. I can't fix it. It isn't my industry. I don't really care. I don't watch the Oscars. I don't give a shit who wins or loses. I'm glad when artists, actual artists, have their art promoted in a way mm-hmm. that helps them broaden their audience. That's great. But whatever the behemoth was that you know lumbered and died on the TV screen over the weekend, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, and I did one really cool story that came out from the Oscars that is a nice thing to remember. The best supporting actor, Troy Kotsur, who won for Coda, uh-huh. and you know, is a deaf actor who signed and he signed his speech and so forth and so on. Troy Kotsur invented the sign language, invented it out of, mm-hmm. you know, what he knew mm-hmm. for the Tusken Raiders in Star Wars. Oh, wait, but that means he worked for Disney. Oh, Driftglass. Oh,
that's okay.
We're going to have quite a week of entertainment news, I guess. But
look, this blog works for Disney now. Let's be clear. Disney owns everything. Disney owns it all. If I can refer to our notes.
Yes, let's refer to our notes. Can I say happy blogiversary to you?
Sure. Happy vlog.
17 years.
17 goddamn years. Now my podcast or my blog is surly and won't talk to me. Stays out late.
Always in his car.
Nothing I can do about it. I didn't ask to be blogged every day. And in our notes, my lovely wife has said, and for his blogiversary, we won't be talking about the Oscars.
Yeah,
so,
no, we did. Yeah,
but that's the history of blogging, isn't it?
It is. I'm not going to talk about that. And then
we're not going to talk about this. Then I write, you know, 17 paragraphs about it because it interests me. So it still is, pound for pound, the most liberating format mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. have and still say your work is being published, even though you're publishing it. Mm-hmm. But you can write about whatever you want. You know, you can get a lot of shit for what you write. And Lord knows I have taken a lot of shit, as have you, over the years for opinions that we have shared that were very, very, very unpopular and then mm-hmm. suddenly became
mainstream,
more popular, and then suddenly became mainstream. And suddenly
we
disappeared into the mist because
you can't be right, you know, 10 years early.
Don't do that.
That doesn't work.
Don't do that.
Speaking of things that are said and unsaid.
Yes, my dear.
I found it very interesting that this Don't Say Gay bill uh-huh. in Florida is backfiring so spectacularly for Republicans nationwide.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
They are now trying to pretend that the bill isn't Don't Say Gay.
Right.
But that's what it's been labeled, and that's what it is in the public imagination. And this is an instance of successful Democratic messaging.
It is. Isn't that weird how that worked?
And so Jeanine Pirro, who's, you know, lost her Saturday job, she's not allowed to have her own show anymore because of the box wine, whined on Gutfeld because she's on the panel there. And she whined about, you know, it has nothing to do with Don't Say Gay. Don't call it that. Don't call it that. And then Biden today, that was recording on Thursday, in his Transgender Day of Visibility message, mentions these bills specifically. And he mentions God specifically. He said, you know, I want the transgendered people of the United States to know that my entire administration sees you. We acknowledge you. We love you. You are created in the image of God. Wow. Mm-hmm. Now that's imposing his own religion on things, but it was sincere.
Sure.
But in addition to that, he says, and these anti-transgender, anti-gay bills coming out of state houses, we're going to do everything we can to defeat this bigotry.
I got your back.
Mm-hmm. And that is, again, a sincere message. I don't doubt his sincerity whatsoever, but that was also a choice. And it was a political choice. And it was a politically savvy choice. And he's decided to make this an issue because it is an issue. It's an issue that will drive 18 to 35-year-olds to the polls. They're passionate about this. Their friends matter to them. And it's a black and white picture of justice in the eyes of our kids, of their friends. We see it. The passion is there.
Well, and the freak out, I mean, the idea that I forget who said it on the internet, but every time the right has to freak out about the bill, they have to say the word gay in Don't Say Gay, which is kind of perfect. But the whole freak out is not called Don't Say Gay. That's not the name of the bill. It's not that. Okay. May I do an imitation for you?
Sure.
It's not called Obamacare. Why are you calling it Obamacare?
Exactly. Like,
fuck you. Fuck you. First of all, that
you
is.
You invented this. Yes.
This is what the bill, the effect of it is. Secondly, it's a lovely slogan. And third, it's stuck to you now. It is stuck to you and it's never going to come off.
Yeah.
And the more
it's
you
Obamacare
talk about
forever,
it.
Forever because you did that.
And the more you talk about it, the stinkier it's going to get. So there's and I can just hear there are pressure from the Dominionist scumbags on the right to get out there and push this shit. And then there's people who probably are in their family or probably, you know, want to be a little squishier who are like, please, for God's sake, stop doing this. You're killing us out here.
Or just want to win in the midterms.
Look, if we just stop talking about how much we hate gay people and black people and want to have take your Social Security away and want to stop women from having abortion.
Stop talking about that, Rick Scott.
If we just stop talking about this stuff, we might actually – there's enough dumb people out there or people who let – you know, memory just – everything flows out of their mind 2 minutes after they hear it.
Right.
We'll win. But God bless them. They keep talking about it and they just keep digging. And I want to just hand them a bigger shovel.
That's well, if we can do that, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, because it worked out so well for them last time. Now
let's talk about CBS for a minute.
Yeah, we don't talk about CBS. According to audio recordings and verified sources, CBS News co-president Neeraj Kemlani told staff earlier this month that CBS needed to hire more Republicans for access reasons because the GOP would likely win the midterm.
Bullshit.
Well.
Is that about news, Driftglass? Is that about covering the news and celebrating your First Amendment position, your position in the First Amendment? No.
Well, you remember that, you remember how the vans that usually went to Sister Fuck Arkansas and places like that to interview Trump voters. They all turned around and came roaring into our town to interview us after Joe Biden won, right?
No, they didn't.
Remember that, right?
Nope.
Remember how all of those people who had been hired on as, you know, centrist expert, mushy-mushy people.
After the Democrats won the House, the Senate, and the White House in 2 years?
And
weren't we supposed to be called and talked to? Yeah.
It was weird because Joe Scarborough was fired that next day.
Nope.
And Digby Parton was given his job 3 hours in the morning. Don't you remember that, Blue Gal?
No,
I sure as fuck don't remember that.
Nope.
Remember when Nicole Wallace, he said, Nicole, you're a fine person, but and what a good wife you would be. But you know what? We can't have former Bush Republican scumbags on our show anymore, no matter how pleasant you sound now. So you and Steve Schmidt and the rest of you all have to pack your bags and go do something else because we're going to have to load these chairs up with
liberals. Yes. No.
No. That, of course, that never happened. And Chuck Todd, you're going to have to rebalance your show so that instead of three Republicans to every centrist.
You have to have Asa Hutchinson on every week? Really, Chuck? No.
No. No. You're going to have to start putting a whole lot more lefties on your show. And none of that happened because that's not the way the mainstream media works. This this is the part that always drives me crazy when I see it on social media. And I know it shouldn't. But it's that, why don't Democrats just go on TV and say shit? Like, you really don't know how you don't know how anything works, do you? Mm-hmm. You're right. Why doesn't AOC storm onto the set of Meet the Press, slap Joe Manchin's dick out of Chuck Todd's mouth and just grab the microphone and start talking? Because none of that is how that works at all. Mm-hmm. That is not the way it works. There is a centrist, center-right broadcasting institution in this country called the mainstream press. There is a fascist wingnut propaganda network called Fox News, and that's it.
Yep.
There is no other source of large broadcast news that reaches the people you want to reach.
And they all exist to make money, not to protect democracy even to protect our institutions. Look, they're not there to do that. They're there to sell ad space. That's it.
Luke Gal, you got to understand. you don't like fascists. I don't like fascists. But fascists buy dick pills, okay?
They do.
They buy reverse mortgages. Yeah. They buy sneakers. So what am I going to do? Just ignore the fact there's 70 million fascists in this country?
That's a good market. That's crazy. A good dollar. The Nazi dollar is a good dollar, Driftglass.
So step one, and I'd like to say this is step one, but it isn't step one. It's step 900, is CBS hiring Mick Mulvaney.
Yeah.
Mick Mulvaney, who was a Trump thug, one of the Trumpiest of the Trumpy Trumpers, who is now going to work for CBS as an analyst.
And Muckrack pointed out, oh my God, Mick Mulvaney's history of bashing actual reporters over and over again, as if they're scum and treating the media like shit. And all of a sudden he's going to come in and chat with our colleagues about budget stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, this is not the first time this has happened.
Right.
This is the umpty-umpth time.
Umpty-umpth time,
I would like to remind people that the number one guest in 2008 or 9 on Meet the Press was Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
The disgraced, humiliated, out-of-power, right-wing, racist scumbag who David Gregory just kept putting back on the show. Every time Gingrich would go out and do something incredibly awful to raise money and sell videotapes and just keep his street cred among the scum of the earth up, David Gregory would invite him on the show. And how many times was Bill Kristol's career resuscitated? And this is long before he became MSNBC's in-house hero of the resistance. He was, at ABC News. They got fired from there, got hired by Fox and fired from there, and hired by the New York Times and fired from there, and hired by Time Magazine and fired from there, hired back at ABC News and fired from there. And now he's on MSNBC. It is the job. It is the job of the mainstream press to rehabilitate Republican politicians. That is what it does. How many different times, how many do-overs does Steve Schmidt get?
Seriously.
How desperate are the people at MSNBC to help to tell you to forget Matthew Dowd 1.0, who was, Bush's campaign manager, and forget Matthew Dowd 2.0, who was the king of fucking both sides do it. And now he's just this Bible spouting friendly child pastor or youth pastor. Who's hopping mad at all this both sides bullshit. That's what they do. That's the machine and they're just going to put Mick Mulvaney right through that same pipeline. And he'll come out the other end as a respected analyst of economic trends.
And that doesn't impress me or surprise me.
No, it shouldn't.
But it did surprise me that it came out that it is their position that Democrats are going to lose in the midterms.
Yeah. Yep.
And they are basing business decisions on their prediction that Democrats don't matter anymore. We have to have Republican voices. We have to have access to Republicans. The access to Republicans trumps, and I don't mean that in no pun intended, trumps actually reporting what's best for the public.
This is that scene out of Casablanca when Rick is listening to the distant guns in Paris. And they're giving the public an instruction of how to greet the Nazis when they roll into town. This is like, well, since the Republicans are going to win, we have to accommodate them. You know, accommodate them. We have to give them whatever they want because we need access, man. And I forget, it was Bruce Bartlett, I think, on social media saying, look, when I was a source, quote unquote source for Republican stuff, everything I told them was in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Everything I told them I read online. So they have all this information at their fingertips anyway. They want a body. They want a person with a face and a name and a Republican title they can put in front of a camera to prove that
what they read on Twitter has validity.
Well, and don't hurt us. Don't hurt us. I have a Republican. I have a Republican out here, so don't come kick my door down.
Right.
I'm with you, man.
But there you go. The subtext of all of that is that the Republican base and the Republican viewers are violent.
Yes, they are. They are. And they're going to get more so. The more you appease them, the crazier they're going to get.
Yeah.
And this is still a country where 60-some-odd million people believe that the election was stolen in 2000. I'm sorry, 2020. It was stolen in 2002, but that's a different story. And who will never get over it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what you tell them. It doesn't matter how you reason with them. It doesn't matter the facts you put in front of them. They are furious that this country is being run by someone other than them. And they will not accept it one way or the other.
And just as I, and I think you too, I don't want to speak for you, we're feeling a little demoralized by this CBS prediction. I read up more on how the boots on the ground at CBS feel about having Mick Mulvaney as a colleague. And the internal reaction, this is from Muckrack Daily, the internal reaction at CBS News to the decision to hire Mulvaney as a paid on-air contributor, considering his history of bashing the press and promoting the former president's fact-free claims, as you might put it, you know, they hate it. And Walter Shapiro on Twitter said, memo to CBS, maybe hire journalists for TV gigs. I know it's a radical thought, although not having partisan mouthpieces on retainer seems to have worked for the print press for nearly a century. Well, what print press is what I would say to that.
Yeah.
So that made me feel better. And I also want folks to watch out for that kind of demoralization because they want that. And that is not where we need. We need 50% plus one in the House, Drift Glass. Yeah. And we can do that.
Yeah, that's very doable. It's very doable.
And Politico has woken up to the fact, Trump's baggage and the primary candidates, primary is going to be lit, Drift Glass. It's posing a problem for the Republican Party. I mentioned that Trump lost the House, the Senate, and the White House for the Republican Party. What he hasn't lost is the money. He's taken all the money. And so, you know, Ronna McDaniel and Kevin McCarthy are hostages to Donald Trump. But Carrie Elleveld in Daily Kos wrote this. The problem Trump poses for the GOP is twofold. First, candidates battling for his endorsement could potentially move so far to the right, you think, that they alienate suburban voters in a general election. That is particularly true for several Senate races in battleground states. In Pennsylvania, for instance, Trump's first endorsement already flamed out. And now the seven remaining Republican candidates are all jockeying for position with the guy who ultimately costs the Republicans the House, the Senate, and the White House. The same is true for the nine Republicans seeking their party's gubernatorial nomination in the Keystone State. Trump's other downside, this is the part I thought was really important. Trump's other downside is the extent to which all his baggage keeps making headlines, reminding swing voters of the Trump drama factor that contributed to tanking his 2020 reelection bid. And I can just see the ad of, you know, just show a bunch of Trump's old tweets and injecting bleach. And, you know, you really want to go back to this? Vote Republican. This week alone, This is getting back to the Daily Kos article. This week alone, Trump nearly edged out the Ukraine crisis as a top story through a gusher of headlines about Ginny Thomas's efforts to urge him to steal the election, a vote to hold two of Trump's former White House aides in criminal contempt, 7 hours of Trump's phone calls on January 6th that went missing from the White House records. Also, a phone call he made to a senator that did not appear on the White House records, but was made from a White House phone. That means they tampered with the White House phone records.
Yes, they did.
A federal judge's conclusion that Trump, quote unquote, likely committed crimes while trying to overturn the 2020 election. And he will not shut up. He will not go off and paint.
No, he won't. In fact, he'll double down.
He'll double down.
Go on a right-wing Russian propaganda network and ask Vladimir Putin, who's his friend, to spill some dirt on Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yep. And I absolutely foresee him withholding money from Republican candidates who don't play nice with him.
Sure. That's how he keeps his children in line, right?
Exactly. That's exactly how he keeps his children in line. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
That's all he knows how to do.
Talk to me about independence, Driftglass.
Well, as you know, recently I had the opportunity to encounter former Republicans or Republicans in the wild.
You did.
In their natural habitat. And I will not go into any detail at all that is revelatory of who, what, when, where, or why. I will just say, I've been doing this a while. You can trust me. This really happened.
Yes.
And from it, I drew many, many important lessons.
Well, I was there. So, yes.
It was, we were in the back of a cab, just you and me and Tom Friedman. And I asked the cab driver, tell me about your political history. Now, I don't know why this happens to me, but there is a certain type of person who feels the need to come to me and unburden themselves of all their shitty opinions.
Yeah.
I think it has something to do with the fact that I look like a member of their tribe.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You look like a narc.
I'm a tall, bald, white guy with a beard. Mm-hmm. I wear Dickie t-shirts and Carhartt jackets and jeans. Mm-hmm. And I look like I would be at a Trump rally.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't be surprised to see me there.
Yeah. You look like you could be ex-military or ex-cop. Absolutely. Sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not one at the type of occasion I was at to start an Irish brawl over this shit.
Not in the back of a cab. No way.
No. I know better than to like pick a fight over, some woman's hair in church.
Yeah. Right.
Or swear. I know what venue I'm in. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel the need to be Driftglass capital D all the time everywhere. Right. It is not useful. It is much more useful when I am out in the normal world, hearing people talk as they talk amongst themselves, to just sort of listen and disagree. But try to steer the conversation away from, please don't say the N-word. Please don't. Oh, you said it. Okay. got it.
God.
But it was revelatory in a bunch of ways. The first is, it's clear that all the media pundits who claim to speak for the GOP have never, ever been an actual Republican in the wild. Oh, outside of their Acela Corridor friend group. Mm-hmm. But they have never in their fucking lives met an actual person on the ground, in the diner, speaking their own language among themselves. It's clear that none of the people you see on television are aware these people exist or pretend that they're some sort of rounding error. Now, this is where Stuart Stevens sort of had his breakthrough. Like, holy shit, it's all a lie. That's the title of his book. It's all a lie. And it was like, oh, yeah. Oh, God. These people were really actually the party all along. Mm-hmm. We were the minority. They were the people who were running the show. And then they found their Jesus and elected Donald Trump. None of the others could make that turn. None of the others could admit that the people I know are the base of the GOP, because I fucking grew up among them, really exist and really do run the party. And that the people like you see, like Tom Nichols or Steve Schmidt, are the exception. Mm-hmm. And you can't, and that's why you put them on television, because you don't want to scare the shit out of people. I put in Nazis on television going, no, this is actually the GOP. Mm-hmm. That ruins everything. Mm-hmm. Second, pretty much everything I knew to be true over the years is still true. check every box that sort of your personal grievances are, in fact, a national problem. Something that happened to me when I was a kid is indicative of everybody that looks like that. I didn't get the breaks in life, so you're giving everything away to the blacks.
You're giving my stuff away. Right. Yes, well, right.
Actually,
right.
You're kind of a fuck up, and you blew all your chances, and welfare. You know that most people on welfare are white? No. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, sorry. Poor white folks, just like you. And then I'm reminded why I moved the fuck out of the lily white suburbs to Chicago. Like, I cannot be among these people as my peers, as the people I deal with every day.
And I want to say, you tell me if I can't include this, but driving around lily white suburbs of Chicago and seeing Let's Go Brandon flags in the yard.
Trump signs, Let's Go Brandon flags everywhere.
And what is so ironic and funny about that is that down here in Springfield, everyone thinks that anything north of I-80 is Chicago.
Chicago.
And those liberals taking all our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the resentment of Chicago as a black money grab for the state.
Right.
They believe it. You know,
Brandon signs and the Trump signs and the kiss my ass and Hillary for jail bumper sticker scum in the lily white suburbs all think the same thing of Chicago.
Yeah.
They all fucking hate Chicago.
Yeah.
Because Chicago's black. It's full of black people. It's full of those people. It's full of liberals too. And that's a lot of why you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this kind of, I admit I voted for Trump the first time. But I didn't vote for him the second time. The fuck you didn't. But the whole construction of that, like, I feel the need to confess because, you know, this country needs to be changed. We need to shake things up. So I voted for that. But I liked his policies. You mean all of his racist policies? Because that's what you mean. But it's, it literally.
You like the tweeting, Drift Class.
I don't like all the tweeting.
I don't like all the tweeting.
But it's that clear. Every accusation is a confession.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's this sense of you are one of life's losers and you think you lost because someone took something from you. You've been told by Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity that you are owed something and that if you're not living your best life, then somebody stole it from you. And it's probably someone who's brown or a woman or a liberal or maybe a Jew. I don't know. Maybe one of them too. But somebody stole from you your birthright, and you got to get that back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's burned on the board with these people. That is what they believe in their soul. And there's nothing you can do to persuade them otherwise. They want to take their case to court and have a judge say to them, some God, some holy person, some authority figure look to them and say, yes, you have been grieved and your good shit has been stolen from you. And I'm going to sympathize with you. I'm going to get that shit back. And that higher court is Donald Trump. That higher court is the Republican Party. The Republican Party's implicit promise to all these losers and all these racists is, I will get back for you what those people stole from you. And you have a right to be angry.
I will build a wall to keep them away from your stuff.
You have a right to all that shit. And I'm going to get it back for you. I'm going to make sure they never do this to you again. And when you get down to any level of detail, it all falls apart because it's all bullshit. But they can't. This is how they live their lives in the sense of incredible anger and grievance. And I want someone to go out and kick ass on my behalf because I know my life shouldn't be this way. And it's not my fault that it is. So it must be somebody else's. And,
A corollary to that, Driftglass, I would like everyone to go to Crooks and Liars if they have a chance and watch Shalonda D. Young, who is the director of Office of Management and Budget in the Biden administration.
Oh, I think I saw her doing testimony today.
Yeah. Yesterday in front of Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
And Rick Scott.
God damn. She was great.
She has her act together. She knows her numbers. She knows her stuff. She's professional. She doesn't raise her voice. She keeps it all together and has all the information for them that they need, et cetera. And the hatred and smarminess that came out of Rick Scott's voice to her about population. Do you know the population of the United States?
Huh?
Like, oh, it was disgusting. It was disgusting the way he talked to her. Like, you don't have to talk to me like I'm beneath you, but it was.
Yes, he does. Oh,
patronizing,
yes,
nasty, and as if, you just want to spend all my money. You just want to spend our future. That's right. What you're here to do. Mm-hmm. But then they had to get into what's actually in the budget.
No.
And what's actually in the budget is a whole lot of military spending, which uh-huh. I disagree with. And, you know, I think it's horrible that the Pentagon cannot be apparently audited in any way ever. And that we always have to ask for more money than Congress is willing to give, you know, that bump it up every year. But then, you know, entitlements came up and Mitt Romney is talking about adjustments to entitlements for younger workers. I'm 59 years old. Does Mitt Romney mean me? Am No. I a younger worker because I'm not currently receiving entitlement benefits? And we don't get into the fact that it's not just America's seniors receiving Social Security. It's widows and orphans. It's, you know, we don't get into any of that. We don't get into the Bush tax cuts or the Trump No. tax cuts.
No.
Or oil subsidies or, you know, on and on and on. We don't get into any of that. It's just Mitt Romney wants to make sure we all know we got to do something about this big chunk of money going to entitlements.
Right.
And he says it out loud. And to her credit, very calmly and with great gravitas, I would say, Shalonda Young said this, two sentences. The president is not putting forth a proposal that cuts those benefits. He's not going to do that. So both sides don't, folks.
No, one they side, really don't.
One side is bloodthirsty for your Social Security and Medicare benefits. One side is standing up against them.
Yeah.
And so vote accordingly.
Well, and vote accordingly and rid yourself of the delusion that you're gonna hold up a chart. Mm-hmm. It's going to change someone's mind on the other side.
No.
Because there are a million charts. Since
Mitt Romney had two. He had two big printed out charts about, and included in those was, here's where Greece's economy failed.
Right.
On his chart. You know, this is where we're headed. You know, it was just absurd. You know, we're going to become Greece. Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Well, Greece is the word. I've heard anyway. But no, you hold up a chart and say, look, here's where the tax cuts kick in. And here's the budget deficit. And this is where you assholes cut $1 trillion, $2 trillion in taxes. This is where the deficit went.
Yeah.
And it won't make any difference. It won't make any difference.
But it always happens when a Democrat is in the White House. That's right. When these conversations occur. Yeah.
And you and I know that. And you and I sort of have understood that is the tidal flow of conversations. There will always be room for more tax cuts when the Republicans are in power. There will always be a call to, oh my God, where these deficits come from, cut everything when Democrats in power. So what doesn't work is presenting these facts over time, this constant ebb and flow, the constant Republican hypocrisy, the constant Republicans running up deficits when they're in charge and then insisting Democrats cut social programs when they're in charge, presenting that as a timeline, saying this is what your party does all the time. This is why everything you believe is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Presenting that information to people who have been voting Republican and listening to Rush Limbaugh and believe this bullshit their whole life does no good at all. Mm-hmm. It does nothing for them. Their eyes will glaze over. They'll shrug their shoulders. Say, you know how both sides are. And they'll change the subject to, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop or something.
Right, right.
They are not going to change. Stop pretending that the lunatic next to you on Thanksgiving dinner, who's spouting his rustic theories about colored people, is ever fucking going to change, because they can't. That isn't what they believe. It's who they are. And who they are doesn't change.
I say that more in sorrow than anger, too.
I do, too.
Because I'm sad about that.
It's pathetic. It is sad. It is, and again, which I've said 100 times before, if these people weren't actively trying to destroy my country, I'd feel real bad for them.
Yep. Yeah,
but and my socialist future involves free health care for them, and great education for them,
opportunity to college,
and clean water for them, and college for their kids. You know, that's my horrifying socialist future. But forget trying to persuade them or convince them or bully them or in any otherwise trick them into stopping being who they are, because this is it. They're on this train. They're going to take it all the way to the end. And our job is to make sure that they can't succeed in wrecking this country. Not persuading them that they're doing it, because they don't believe it. They believe they're all patriots. They all have, you know, in their mind, they're all Rambo with eagles on the other shoulder and an American flag flying behind him and an AK-47 in each hand, fighting off socialists and coloreds and feminazis.
Yep.
And that's how, and they're going to go to their grave thinking that's who they were in this life. So
Drift Class, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Why is Washington Post and New York Times devoting column inches this week to Hunter Biden's laptop?
Why do you think, Blue Gal? Why do you
both
think?
Because balance. Because
let's cast our mind back to 2016. Yeah. Why do you suppose?
Oh, and before that, somebody said this is the new Whitewater. It absolutely is.
Oh yeah, no, it's not just the new Whitewater. It's the new but her emails.
Yeah.
This is something, and this is where you know. This is how you know the media is broken.
Yep.
Irreparably broken. Mm-hmm. There's no going back and scrapping it and starting over. It might be a fine idea. It's a huge undertaking. But there are people in the media I listen to and I kind of trust and I think they know what they're talking about. But you will never see on the Chris Hayes show, as far as I know, you will never see on the Chris Hayes show him taking by name people at the New York Times to task for the bullshit they do. Never. You will never hear that. The industry cannot police itself, very much like the Academy. Can't do it.
Yeah.
So all
Elie Mystal did it in his book. Elie Mystal, by name.
But Elie Mystal is the outsider. He doesn't have a show.
Yep.
I listened to him today.
They can pull him anytime. Yep.
Yeah. He's a quote machine, and he's a wonderful quote machine. I listened to him debating today cancel culture. And it was great, by the way. We'll put the link in the podcast notes as it goes online. It was very good. It was 30 minutes. It was a New York Public Radio. But his arguments were all very good, as they always are. But every time the woman he was debating against kept sort of saying, like, you know, there's a continuum and, you know, there's, yes, the book burnings, but, you know, shunning people and shaming them, et cetera, is also bad. And we got to agree that there's a whole big problem and everyone's involved in it. And he basically said, no, no, there's not. He said, I don't have time or energy for this bullshit. Yeah. I am trying to stop actual book burning. I'm trying to stop actual laws being passed that prevent teachers from teaching history in class because Republicans are terrified of learning about the past. And I don't have time to deal with the hurt feelings of white people.
Right.
I just don't.
Nope.
And that occurred. The larger lesson there was like, you know, you only have enough. You only have so much time and energy. And people who try to drag you into secondary and tertiary bullshit arguments. Like, and that's always what a both sides argument is. It's always like, I don't want to take responsibility for the shit my side's doing. So let's talk about everything that everyone's doing.
Or let's talk about civility. I mean, that was the other one was, let's have reasonable arguments and a safe space to talk about these things with each other. So we can solve problems. Okay, as soon as your party stops book burning, and erasing Black history and hurting trans youth, we can sit down and create a safe space to talk about issues. Right.
You know, that's weird that you should mention that. And this is not set up. I was going through my first blog post from 17 years ago. And I came across this exact conversation I was having on my blog with myself. And I wrote, I will not have those conversations in the light of a burning cross. I will not have a civilized conversation with fundamentally awful, uncivilized people. I won't do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't go anywhere. They're not, these people aren't going to compromise with us. What's the point of having a conversation unless you reach a mutual understanding or you reach a compromise or you there's some level of information exchange and there is none from the other side. There's no interest in having a civilized discussion about anything. That's why they jerk off to Hunter Biden's laptop every night, because they have no issues they can win on other than cultural. And there's no way to have a civilized conversation with fascists in the middle of a Cold War in your own country.
Right.
Anyway.
We talked about Hunter Biden's imaginary laptop and mainstream media going after that. Of course, Donald Trump asked Putin for help getting dirt on Hunter Biden on television.
He did. Well, and you
and mentioned, it's still, even with that, it's going to take discipline for us to win the midterms.
I was going to say, we're going to have to be tightly focused and really relentless to win the midterms. Things are not as bad numerically as people were predicting a year ago. All of the redistricting seems to be not quite a wash, but is not going to automatically lead to 11, 12, 15, 20 new Republican seats without any discussion or argumentation. But yeah, thank God Rick Scott opened his pie hole
and printed out a booklet.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed someone, some troll on Twitter today. And what the reason I did it was to get that vocabulary out to my followers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a reason I don't recommend engaging trolls, but I do recommend if you just want to get your vocabulary out there, that is useful.
Yeah.
And so I addressed this troll by name and said, here's the deal. Write to Rick Scott and send away for his 11-point plan to save America and mm-hmm. find out that he wants to tax your Social Security. He feels that you don't have skin in the game as a retiree, mm-hmm. and he wants you to pay more in federal taxes.
You're so a taker, not a maker.
Don't believe me. Don't take Blue Gal's word for it.
No.
Write to Rick Scott. He wants to send you a copy. And and I had a lot of likes on that from other Democrats, and that's what I wanted. I wanted people to see that they're saying it out loud.
Do you remember several thousand years ago when you reached out to Pammy Atlas?
Yes.
Or one of her acolytes?
In her comment thread.
I agree with this. On this one issue, you and I are in complete agreement. Yep. Why can't we work together on it?
It was the Patriot Act.
Right. Because that's right.
Pammy Atlas was flipping out about Obama being able to look at the books you take out of the library, ha ha, as if. And I said, I absolutely agree with you on this. It would be huge news, Pammy, if you and I, or pick any liberal who is opposed to the Patriot Act, go share a microphone and say, this is overreach by the federal government to look at our private, you know, reading habits. It should be unconstitutional on its face. And we want to raise this issue and get it stricken from the books.
Right.
And I said, let's do it. I'm ready to stand with you side by side. And her commenters were like, well, it was okay when Bush did it.
Right. I trusted Bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always okay. It's always okay when your side does it. It's always mm-hmm. okay. And it's always the case that, one of Elie Mystal's lines was, you know, show me on the doll where cancel culture hurt you, which I think is wonderful and appropriate and quite correct. It's like, you know, being shunned and shamed for saying something stupid and or racist is not the same as being fired or having books burned right. or having stuff taken out of the classroom or having teachers sued for talking about history. They're not the same fucking thing. And your insistence that they are the same thing mm-hmm. only tells me that you are so bankrupt. You're mm-hmm. so terrified of it actually being your side that's at fault mm-hmm. that you will not listen to reason. And therefore, we can just end the conversation there because there's no point in trying to reason with you because clearly you're going to throw up every fucking thing you can think of because the truth of the matter is what's the true thing, the truth behind the story is what you're scared of.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
this is all distraction. It's all what about, what about, what about, both sides, both sides, both sides. And that's what I know. Oh, I'm dealing with someone who's fundamentally corrupt, fundamentally a liar, and cannot be trusted. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty good radar. I got to say, if you're dealing with someone, is this person an ally? Put something out there like that and watch what they do. And if their answer is, well, you know, both sides, then okay, I can't work with them. You know, maybe I'll get your vote, maybe I won't, but I do not trust them and I never will.
You mentioned teachers, Driftglass. And that makes me think of children. And I think one of the things that's coming out about all of this is how little conservatives really trust children to do the right thing. That is really core. But Katie Heisen on Twitter yesterday tweeted that she runs a journalism club for middle schoolers. And as middle schoolers will do, they pried into her personal life because they're a journalism club.
Guess where I saw the teacher? I saw a teacher at the Hy-Vee at the weekend.
Yeah, when you see a teacher at the grocery store, it's such a big deal.
Uh-huh.
So they asked her, do you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? And she replied, I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
And her student replied, to a boy or to a girl?
Uh-huh.
And she said, my whole spirit lit up. Good journalists. Don't make assumptions.
Nope.
They're going to do great. And, you know, when you talk, this is what breaks my heart, is there are plenty of kindergarten teachers out there who are gay or trans or whatever. And if a straight cishet teacher can mention their spouse to a group of kindergartners,
mm-hmm.
A person with a non-traditional marriage can do the same.
Yes.
And it's not going to flip out the kindergartner.
No.
You're not giving them a sex ed lesson by doing that.
That's
they understand
what,
it.
That's not what I heard on Fox, though. I heard that they want to tell...
It's grooming.
It's grooming.
Your porn mind is showing,
well,
is what it is.
I remember, you know, long, long ago, when I forget when it was, during the Bush administration, I came across this interaction on some right-wing chat site. Just call them all socialists. And the back and forth was like, yeah, but that means – it doesn't mean anything. Just call – that's a bad word. Everybody hates that word. You know, this is what – this is how the AMA destroyed, you know,
well, you know,
care.
Our listener Steve, who comes down for coffee from time to time from upstate, he replies whenever I mention any right-wing person on Twitter, he replies, creepy weirdo.
Yeah. Degenerate freak.
Creepy weirdo.
No, this is how, you know, Medicare became for socialized medicine.
Socialized medicine.
Are you sure you want socialized medicine? But the point being, call them socialists has now become call them pedophiles.
Yeah.
Just call them pedophiles.
That's the QAnonification of the Republican Party, right?
But that means a really specific thing. And by the way, most of the pedophiles are in our party. Doesn't matter. Everybody hates pedophiles. Call them pedophiles. You know, make them deny it.
Yes, right.
And then build an entire fucked up anti-Disney universe out of that fantasy
that's completely
made up. And then
that's why Ben Shapiro is investing millions of dollars in children's programming.
You know, I thought you were kidding.
I wasn't kidding. I know. I thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Oh,
I did.
Come on. Ben Shapiro's going to have his own anti-Disney. Nope. It's apparently true. Ben Shapiro is going to.
Creepy weirdo.
Yeah. And you were telling me some of the rides that they were going to have there.
Some of the shows they were going to have, which was, you know.
Charter Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah. Yeah.
And David Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah. It'll be great.
It'll be great. Kids will love it. No, they won't.
As the Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh short-lived TV show demonstrates,
yeah,
you know, there's nothing conservatives understand better than humor and kids.
Humor, kids, and entertainment value.
They know how to do that right. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of creepy weirdos, Madison Cawthorn broke the rule of we don't talk about Republican cocaine orgy club.
No, the first rule. It's the top 9 rules of cocaine, GOP cocaine orgy club. But honestly, the best headline was the Washington Post quoting Kevin McCarthy saying that Madison Cawthorn did not tell the truth about GOP cocaine orgies. Is there more? Did he leave things out? Are there Reagan-shaped dildos involved?
What?
Tell us more about the stuff that we don't know yet about the cocaine orgies the GOP is having.
I have to read from Muckrack again. Sources told Muckrack that Kevin McCarthy explained to Madison Cawthorn that he can't just be a social media influencer and implored him to take his job as a congressman seriously. Driftglass, are you still there?
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on this subject.
Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina told CNN in public, made it clear, came forward publicly, says he's backing State Senator Chuck Edwards in his primary against Madison Cawthorn, and that others in the party are getting fed up with Cawthorn's antics. And Muckrack says, but without the antics, what's left?
But there's literally nothing left. I am waiting.
Yeah.
I am waiting.
Eric. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just waiting for, this is a terribly dark thing to say, for Trump to endorse Madison Cawthorn and Madison Cawthorn to stand up and say, Mein Führer, I can work.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. Yeah.
I don't
regret saying it, but Madison Cawthorn is a horrible, horrible human being who believes that Marjorie Taylor Greene is the actual leader of the Republican Party. And she probably is. I mean, she raises more money than anybody else, and she's certainly got more
profile but she does it through WinRed, which means 10% of it goes to we don't know who.
That's okay.
And, you know, the biggest fundraiser they have is the Make America Great Again again. So look,
as we know from everything, every movie from whatever the original one was with Morgan Freeman as Fast Black to Justified, 10% of it's going to go to the pimp, honey. Got to. You got to go to, straight off the top. 10% got to go to the guy running the show.
Yeah.
And that's the way Donald Trump has run the Republican Party, like a big old whorehouse. And you know who's left inside the Republican Party? The worst whores out there. Because everybody else, and this is what I will say about the Republican Party. I've said it before. It doesn't make me happy. But it really has shown us all what they really are.
Yeah.
There is no longer, they smoked out all the impurities.
They have no platform except for Rick Scott's 11-point plan to save America. That's it.
But there's no more. I mean, I grant you that they're grabbing for any little shred of the good old days when they can get David Gregory to lie for them.
Right.
But they have smoked themselves out. So there's nothing. They're completely out in the open now. We are a fascist, racist, lunatic, asshole party. And goddamn proud of it.
Loves to hurt people.
It loves to hurt people. Loves to hurt children. Hurt people. Old people, people who are sick, hate everyone who isn't us. And this tells us through the representation, the cross-section of Republican thinking we can see in Congress, who these people really are. And they're really terrible people. And we can beat really terrible people by focusing not on marginal tax rates, not on specific policies, although those are important, but the fact that these are really terrible people. Mm-hmm. You are voting for people who are going to take your mom's Medicare away. We're going to take your dad's Social Security away. We're going to raise your taxes and cut taxes for the rich asshole down the block. Now, that's maybe what you want. Maybe you're one of those assholes.
Well, but if
you're
not one of those assholes. It sure will own the libs.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. But it is a clarifying period in our history. There is no doubt on which side of the slavery question you are once the shells start falling at Fort Sumter. And that's where we're at. And and as we've said before, you can't be on both sides of the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
No, you can't.
You're either on our side or the bad guy's side. And that's the binary choice we have.
And it was House Democrats who passed legislation today that cut the price of insulin to $35 a month.
God bless those House Democrats. I believe we voted for at least four of those.
I think we did.
Yeah. Shall we have a little bit of a news roundup?
Let's do a little bit of a news roundup.
You know what U.S. intelligence officials believe, Lou Gal? They believe Vladimir Putin is being misinformed by his advisors.
Oh, no.
Yeah, who are too afraid to tell him the truth. Does that remind you of anyone, Blue Guy? About his military struggles in Ukraine and the effect of sanctions on the Russian economy.
I'd be afraid, too. But you took that job.
Yep.
Trump called on Putin to release information regarding Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah.
The claim is unsubstantiated, Driftglass.
Yeah, the claim is bullshit, Blue Gal. I think that is journalism speak for, we know it's bullshit. Everyone knows it's bullshit. But Vladimir Putin is currently occupying the world stage for the worst possible reason. And his good friend, the former president of the United States, is calling on him to help him fuck up the American democracy. So, you know, it's a story. The U.S. State Department will now allow Americans to mark their gender as X on passports.
Joe Biden is expected to invoke the Defense Production Act to help secure the minerals needed for the batteries used in electric vehicles and power storage on the electric grid.
Now, you got to wait for the punchline on this one. The Biden administration will spend $3.16 billion to retrofit hundreds of thousands of homes in low-income areas with the goal of making them more energy efficient. The funding is for the Federal Weatherization Assistance Program, comes from Biden's $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, and will allow the program to modernize about 450,000 homes with cost-effective upgrades like adding insulation to the attics, swapping older appliances for more efficient models, and replacing leaky windows and doors. This is the same program which Donald Trump tried to eliminate in 2017.
Trump's January 6th White House records are missing 7 hours and 37 minutes of phone logs.
Oh.
You know, his phone gaps are the best phone gaps. They're the longest phone gaps.
They're the biggest.
They're truly greatest phone gaps of all time.
I ran into 7 crying bald men who said, "You have the greatest phone gaps in American history,
sir.
I served in the military for over 400 years, sir.
I will be releasing the phone gaps in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The gap, which extends from a little after 11 a.m. until about 7 p.m. on January 6, 2021. Remember that date.
Mm-hmm.
Corresponds with the attack on the U.S. Capitol by Trump's supporters. Yes, it does.
Yeah, just so happens to. Wild how that happens. The January 6th committee urged Attorney General Merrick Garland to criminally charge Mark Meadows for contempt of Congress, saying, quote, the Department of Justice has a duty to act on this referral and others that we have sent. I think that got his attention.
And unless he is secretly testifying to Merrick Garland.
Right.
They need to do that. Yeah.
They do. They do.
The New York Attorney General's office said it has uncovered significant evidence suggesting that Trump falsely and fraudulently valued real estate assets for more than a decade.
It's the fraudulent part. That's the good part. Mm-hmm. Via Raw Story, a new study shows white Americans cared less about COVID once they learned it was hurting minorities more.
Christ on a crutch.
Goddamn. Goddamn.
The FDA authorized a second booster of Pfizer and Moderna for adults 50 years and older. So go get them.
Go get them. We're going to go get ours.
We have to wait 4 months after our last booster, Driftglass.
Oh, it's been 4 months. Or maybe it's been 6 years. Time means nothing, Lugel.
Time means nothing.
Nothing at all. 44% of Americans say they regularly wear face masks in public, down from 65% in January. 40% say they avoid non-essential travel, compared with 60% in January. And 47% say they regularly stay away from large groups, down from 65% in January. I'm in the 40% on all of those.
Yeah. I wear a mask in big box stores and church. And if I know everyone in a group I'm sitting with is vaccinated, I don't wear a mask. But
I can't call it a promise, but I made a recommendation to myself, a strong recommendation to myself, that don't die of something stupid.
Right.
And if wearing a little piece of paper on my face and staying out of large groups will prevent me from dying of something stupid, that sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah. If it's preventable, I'd rather not get sick. Let's put it that way. And I've liked not having a cold for 2 years, too.
That's been pretty terrific.
You know, hand washing and wearing a mask has kept me from having any kind of virus.
Well, and that daily ivermectin shot we give each other in the ass.
No, I don't get the ivermectin.
Yeah.
Bleach up my butt? Nope.
No.
This week, someone put on Twitter to summarize your podcast with one GIF.
Yes.
And I put a woman with her arms out saying, for better or worse, honey. And you tell them what you put.
I put Matthew McConaughey crushing a beer can saying, time is a flat circle. It's about right. That's about
that's
right.
That's drift glass.
Yeah.
I'm holding my arms out going, for better or worse, honey.
Mm-hmm.
A federal judge asserted that Trump more likely than not committed felony obstruction. You think?
Yeah.
In his effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election, based on the evidence, the court finds it more likely than not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a punchline. More likely than not that President Trump corruptly attempted to obstruct the joint session of Congress on January 6th. U.S. District Court Judge David Carter wrote, ordering the release of 101 emails from Trump advisor John Eastman to the January 6th committee. And I love the line of, this was a coup in search of a legal theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. Speaking of messages sent via the internet, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's wife sent 21 text messages to the White House, to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, imploring him to take steps to overturn the 2020 election in the weeks after the election day. Now, let's be clear. Ginny Thomas is insane. She believes crazy shit. It is unfortunate that the least qualified person in my memory appointed to the court before the latest batch, a man who spent his entire career being the ditto marks under Antonin Scalia's decision, who is unfit to be on the court, has a crazy wife.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no excuse for not subpoenaing her and finding out, you know what? If your wife's in the living room on the phone or chatting with people, talking about insurrection, violent overthrowing the government, did you ever pick up on any of that? Did that cross between the two of you at the dinner table? I'm not asking you to testify against her. I'm asking you if a known plotter against the government is in your house, in your bed, at the dinner table for years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not notice any of that? Because
well, and you don't even have to go that far. You can just ask Jenny Thomas what she meant by the text where she said, I was talking to my best friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, if we can find out who that best friend of hers is, you know, that might be good, useful information for the January 6th committee.
Now, here's where I draw the line. Not at impeaching Clarence Thomas, but pretending that that's going to ever happen.
Yeah.
It's never, ever going to happen. And as I wrote on social media today, I'm getting pretty sick of piling up impotent, empty, for the record gestures for some hypothetical future generation. I want blood now. I want justice now. I don't want to say, you know what, we impeached Trump twice and that's going to mean something in 30 years. No, I want them punished now. And I want people who will do that for me now. And if I don't have that, tell me that, but don't make me try to make me happy by saying, you know, in a couple of decades, people are going to look back on this. No. Remember, I've been blogging for 17 years. It's now a couple of decades after I started blogging, and nobody is looking back at David Brooks going, you know what? Why is that son of a bitch still
having
a job?
Why is it Roger Stone in jail for overturning the 2000 election?
Why isn't Dick Cheney in jail? Why isn't Rumsfeld in jail? Why isn't Bush in jail? And go down. Why isn't Alberto Gonzalez doing time in some federal prison? So nobody looks back.
Why isn't Henry Kissinger in jail?
Yeah, well, I wasn't blogging back during the Vietnam War. I was busy, you know, counting my toes and watching Batman.
Yeah. Biden stood by his ad-libbed comment that Putin cannot remain in power, claiming he was expressing moral outrage rather than articulating a power policy change during his Saturday speech in Warsaw. I'm not walking anything back, Biden said of his unscripted comments. I make no apologies for it. And then it stopped being a story. Did you notice that?
I did. Yeah. Once you say, fuck you, I meant it as a
stops being a story.
Right.
It's I meant it
as a matter of moral outrage. Oh, okay.
Right. No.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed the Don't Say Gay Bill. The measure, titled the Parents' Rights in Education Bill, but nobody calls it that, prohibits classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in the state's public schools and allows parents to sue their school districts over violations.
The U.S. and its allies imposed new sanctions on more than 400 Russian individuals and entities, including lawmakers and defense companies. Biden also called for Russia to be removed from the G20 group of the world's largest economies, but added that the decision was up to the group.
Mm-hmm. Come on, it's up to the group. What do we think, guys? What do we think? Donald Trump repeatedly pushed Representative Mo Brooks to, quote, rescind the 2020 election results and remove Biden from office and redo the last presidential election in several conversations last year. Brooks disclosed this conversation with Trump only after Trump withdrew his endorsement of Brooks in the U.S. Senate primary elections in Alabama. That's important. All of these assholes are only coming to Jesus once they got thrown off the Trump train.
Right.
And one of the things I do, as you know, Blue Gal, as a my self-imposed beat, is keeping track of what those stinking never Trumpers are up to.
Yeah.
What our allies are up to. And honestly, today, Joe Walsh is with Stephanie Grisham pimping her book on his podcast. And that's testing the limits of my patience with our good, good, never Trump friends. Because Stephanie Grisham only came to Jesus after January 6th. And then she decided to write a book about it because, you know, money, money, money. I have no patience with people like that. I think the circle of who shall be forgiven and welcomed back into the fold has gotten it's big enough to cover 90% of the GOP, which has been the plan all along, I believe. Isolate Trump and a few of his friends as the bad apples, let everybody else back in and get back to business and pretend that it's 2014 all over again.
Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. But this week, we want to honor the kitties of Ukraine.
Yes.
We very much hope that all the kitties in Ukraine are staying safe and getting freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store direct, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured. Freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service Go Postal Union's letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag fire DeJoy. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job, and we love doing this podcast. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details, our PayPal and postal address information, our Patreon, merch, all of it is there at proleftpod.com. If you have sent us an Internet Kitty and it has not been Internet Kitty yet, please send it to me again with the subject line Internet Kitty. Send it even, to proleftpodcast@gmail.com.
Even if it's not a kitty.
Even if it's not a kitty.
Could be a
we
goat.
We would love to feature your pet or animal dog. Of other kind. And
could be a snake.
I feel like I've missed some, so feel free to send that to me. I appreciate
it. Could be a spider. Could be a ferret. I don't know.
Fish.
Could be a fish.
Please share our show on social media. And if you love this episode of the podcast, please send us $5 or whatever you can. We appreciate your support. Hey, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties want all you cat food haters to get freshly poured cat food's name out of your mother mouth.
Hey, let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2022, DGBG Productions Incorporated.